We welcome to the program a documentary filmmaker who has been involved in Academy Award-winning documentaries like An Inconvenient Truth, the documentaries Watson, Code Girl, Waiting for Superman. She's a winner of the Humanitas Prize as well and has a brand new documentary series called Helter Skelter, An American Myth that premieres on July 26th on Epix. We're pleased to be joined by Leslie Chilcott. Leslie, thanks so much for being with us.
It's so lovely to be here. Thanks for your interest.
Well, I've enjoyed your work through the years, and I'm curious, as a filmmaker, what was it about the story of Charles Manson and the Manson family that drew you in?
That is a good question, isn't it? I wanted to answer why, over 50 years later, people seem to be obsessed with this story, because I myself didn't understand it. And I wanted to know what it was about Charles Manson that continues to make people talk. So I came at it from that approach. I was not a student of these particular crimes or obsessed with the case, as I find a lot of people are.
Well, a number of things that we think we know, it turns out we were wrong about. What are some of the more interesting things that you discovered that people didn't know?
I think because the crimes are motiveless. I mean, the murders were horrible. They're real victims, but the motive can't easily be explained. And I think because of that, there's been a fair amount of, you know, tabloid-esque coverage. And really, there was a moral seriousness underneath the spectacle that became the family. So for me, some new discoveries were learning about what Charlie's childhood was really like in West Virginia. We talked to some people that are in the second episode that knew him then. And, you know, the age-old question, are killers born or made? And, you know, there's no excuse for his later behavior, but he did have a really bad childhood. And I think that's interesting to take a look at. I also spoke to a family member who met Charlie very late, in fact, only a matter of days before the murders. And imagining her escaping from the desert where the family was, you know, several months later, 5 months pregnant, no shoes, running away from, you know, at that point, Charles Manson was unquestionably out of his mind. And I like listening to her stories of her sneaking out on the top of cliffs and then seeing Charlie in a Jeep with his headlights below out searching for her. That was kind of shocking. And she was a teenager.
When you talk to some of the women who were involved, I'm curious, what was it that made him so effective? You have described him as a con man, obviously very good at what he did. What percentage of that would you say was his ability to be persuasive and to be convincing and to have that charisma? And what percentage was the factor in drugs and that situation?
That's a really cool way of asking that question, because I think our minds want the puzzle pieces to fit, right? We want to make sense of something that is nonsensical. So we want to say, oh my God, his charisma was off the charts and that's why this happened. And I think for as many people that he did recruit, there were many, many people that did not join up with the family, so to speak. But when you see footage of him looking at the camera and making all these different faces within a matter of minutes, you know that for some people, he absolutely had some charisma. Like, I talked to different reporters who sat in that courtroom every day for months, and some of them are like, No, he was just a petty con man. He was a little guy. He made faces. I don't know how he convinced these people. And then you see other that are like, well, when you talk to him, he has these like circular philosophical abstractions that you can't argue with him. So after a while, you start to go, yeah, this guy was on to something, right? Like, this was late 60s acid rap. So I think a lot of people fell for this. And when he began to do some unquestionably horrible things, it was very hard to recognize that behavior because it was different from this philosopher you had kind of fallen for. And I think it poses a lot of questions that are relevant today. You know, would I be able to recognize those signs and get away? I mean, you look at Nexium, you know, which was a type of a cult. You had women that were branding themselves, and this is recently, and you want to say, gosh, I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't happen to me. I'd be able to get away. And I think, you know, really, well, it's still happening to some people. So I think these are really important questions to ask. I couldn't give you an exact percentage because I think it's different for every person. I think they have to answer that themselves.
We're talking with Leslie Chilcott, director and executive producer of Helter Skelter, An American Myth, that premieres July 26th on Epic. So a fascinating part of the story for me has always been Charlie Manson's efforts to ingratiate himself into the music industry through people like Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys, Terry Melcher, and others.
Yeah, sure. We actually filmed at Dennis Wilson's old house, which is this 3-acre kind of estate off of Sunset Boulevard in the Pacific Palisades. And we filmed there to show, you know, what it must have been like for, you know, a 14 or 15-year-old girl like Diane Lake to be suddenly drawn into this circle. I mean, the late 60s were a very tumultuous time. People were asking important philosophical questions. You know, there was the Vietnam War. There was racism was a curse throughout the nation as it is now. There was an unpopular president. There was new technology. And I think, you know, it was kind of cool if you were a musician to have this ex-convict who was a poet. I mean, Charlie was really good with words and he had a certain amount of talent. And, you know, had he had a little more discipline or maybe even a little more desire to be a professional musician, I think things could have gone in a very different direction.
Was Charlie Manson very much a monster of his times, viewed in some ways, I guess, as a hero in an offbeat sense by some folks in the counterculture, and then representing the ultimate threat to conservative America at the time, who worried about, goodness, what are all these long-haired, crazy kids going to do? Would his crimes resonate the same way today?
I'm not sure they would, because there have been there have been cult leaders, and there have been, Charlie was technically a spree killer, but there have been serial killers and other types of murderers who have committed far more crimes, had many more victims, and we don't talk about them. But this had the right mixture of sort of fear and fantasy, in the sense that there were seemingly normal teenagers fell under his spell. And in the beginning, it was a nice idea. Go out and live out, you know, in Chatsworth off Santa Susana Pass and live off the land and reuse food and have family dinners every night. And then it just slowly started going all wrong. And I think that people are simultaneously infatuated with, and they fear that. And then Charlie Manson was arrested in December of 1969. So the media says Charlie Manson brought down the 60s, right? Well, it literally was the end of the 60s, right? So from there, you start to get this, he was the face of evil, and he committed evil acts, absolutely. But this tabloid-esque kind of coverage to make him the fall guy, you know, for the entire hippie movement, I think is a little false. He wasn't a hippie. He was older. Some of his followers were hippies, you know? And to say that he had this organized plan to start a race war that he was doing step by step, he just wasn't that clever. He wasn't that smart. You know, he was a small-time con man who got his people to commit crimes so that they were indebted and beholden to him. And it's a really sad, terrible story. But to give him credit as this master planner, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve our attention.
You explore some areas that people haven't heard about before. As you approach this from a different perspective, what are some of the things we'll see when the series makes its debut?
I looked at it, and our whole team of wonderful editors and producers looked at it as an anthropological dig. Like, what is the social history of this time in the late 60s? What was it about Los Angeles? You know, the freeways were packed. There was smog everywhere. We were having heat waves. And what is it about this time and communal living that appealed to people and made this story what it was? So we do that kind of deep dive, and we talk to some people that have never talked about this before and have never been on camera. One particular woman who met Charlie very late has never done any interviews before, and she has a very harrowing story to tell.
Well, we're looking forward to it. July 26th on Epics, Helter Skelter, An American Myth. Leslie Chilcott, thank you so much for making time for us, and we wish you much luck with the series.
Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate it. Lovely to speak with you.